The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," and others, "Elijah," and still others, "one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, please help us to look toward the cross as the destination of our faith. Help us to have no fear, but to trust that you will provide everything that we need. In your name we pray, amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
You know, I think it must have been hard to be Jesus. In our reading this morning, we get a snapshot of the human side of Jesus, and we had the same kind of a snapshot last week in the reading. Last week, Jesus, we saw, struggled to have a relationship, to heal a woman who was from a different background than him. He did it. Today, we see him struggling to be in tune with what's being said about him. A veces yo pienso que era difícil para Jesús ser un ser humano y el Hijo de Dios. So, as a leader, sometimes part of the consequences of being a leader is you lose touch with the people who are not in your immediate sphere of influence. And you see that when Jesus asks the disciples, "What are they saying about me?" You know, most of his time he's teaching and instructing them, he's delegating, he's empowering them, "You go and heal. You break the bread, you distribute the fish." He's a good leader, but since he spends so much time with them, he doesn't know what the next level out is saying. So he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And what do they say? It comes back to him. Some people say that you are John, the baptizer. Other people say that you are Elijah. And other people say that you are one of the prophets, which are really interesting theories. Why would anyone think that Jesus was John? They were the same age. Their mothers were cousins, and they had their babies not too far from each other. I mean, they were two people. How could people think that Jesus was John? And then there was this other theory that Jesus was Elijah, That makes a little bit more sense because we read in the Bible that Elijah didn't die and be buried. Instead, he was raptured away in the chariots of fire. So, yeah, you could see how maybe some people wondered if Jesus was Elijah who had come back. And then others said that Jesus was one of the other prophets. The thing that all of these theories had in common was that Jesus was someone from the past, a prophet, who was now, had come back and had a special purpose. La gente que estaba alrededor de Jesús pensaba que quizá él era un profeta del pasado. So then after Jesus gathers this information, he says to his disciples, he turns the question, so it's no longer theoretical, it's no longer abstract about others. He asks them, existential, who do you say that I am? And Peter gets it right. He nails it. He says, you are the Messiah. And what's so wonderful about Peter's confession is, unlike all the other theories floating around about Jesus as someone from the past, Peter is in the present moment. You are the Messiah right here, right now. And the other thing that's great about Peter's confession is that he doesn't say that Jesus is a prophet. He says that he's a king. That's what Messiah means. It means that you're the anointed one. In the history of the Jewish people, when somebody became a king, like David, they were anointed. And it was the prophet, like Samuel, who had the oil that was blessed. And the king would kneel down and the prophet would pour the oil over the king's head. And he was the anointed one. That is what Messiah means. Jesus was the king. And Peter gets it. Aunque estaban tantas teorías de Jesús como profeta, Pedro confesó que él era el rey, el Mesías del pueblo de Israel. So then Jesus starts to explain to the disciples what his kingship will mean. And he says, I will go to Jerusalem and I will be rejected by the elders, by the chief priests, and by the experts in the law. Well, that's quite a thing to say. That's pretty much saying every single person who's anybody is going to reject Jesus. We talk about the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the different people. Well, by Jesus saying elders, chief priests, and experts in the laws, he's basically saying everybody's going to reject me. Whether you're more into temple worship, where you're more into the law, whether you're just someone with status, wholesale rejection. And then he goes on to say that he is going to suffer and die. Well, you can understand why Peter would have had some mixed feelings about this. And Peter wasn't so sure. Aunque Pedro confesó que Jesús era rey, Jesús explicó que su forma de reinar era de sufrimiento y rechazar por todas las personas con poder. So, when Peter is reprimanded by Jesus, Jesus uses strong language. He says, get behind me, Satan. Now, one of the things you got to know about the word Satan in the Bible is it doesn't always mean the sort of demonic prince of demons, okay? Jesus wasn't calling Peter Satan as in the most evil entity in the universe. No. Other times in the Bible, Satan has a lowercase s, and it means the tempter. The divider is the most literal translation. To call someone a Satan is to someone who troublemakes and tries to split people apart rather than bring them together. And he tells Peter that his mind is not set on divine things, but his mind is set on human things.
El criticismo de Jesús a Pedro es que él no está pensando como Dios, sino un hombre.
And this is exactly the same thing that Brother Martin Luther talked about 500 years ago. The same criticism that Jesus gives of Peter. And as Lutherans, we call it works righteousness. And it is our greatest temptation that we face every day. The temptation of works righteousness is thinking that people get what they deserve. We're always tempted to think that. When we do well and we have success, we think, yeah, I earned this, I deserve this. When we see someone else who's down and out and they don't have what they need, we're all a little quick to pass judgment and say, well, they got what they deserved. And that's how Peter was thinking. Because for Jesus to say that he was going to be the king, that he was perfect, that he was righteous, and that he would then go and suffer, didn't make any sense to Peter. Because that temptation, the temptation of works righteousness, is that if you are a good person and you do everything right and you follow the rules, then you will be blessed. And to that, Jesus says, it's not how it works.
El razón por qué Jesús fue tan crítico de Pedro es que él estaba pensando en esta gran tentación de juzgar los que están sufriendo como que son personas que han hecho algo mal. Y los que tienen mucho son personas buenas que han hecho todo perfecto. Y Jesús dice, no, no es así.
Right? There's a little joke we say, a sober, maybe a little grim saying that I'm sure you have heard and maybe you have even said it sometimes. And it goes like this. No good deed goes unpunished. That's good Lutheran theology. You can do everything right and still get punished and suffer in this world. In fact, sometimes the more righteous and just you are, the more you suffer. Think about teachers. Sherry and I have friends who are teachers, and one just of our friends put on something on Facebook, a meme, and it said, "Don't, if you're a teacher, don't worry. The first 30 years are the hardest," right? The joke is, you know, teachers pour their heart and soul into it, and they, the more that they know their students and teach them everything, the more they see the suffering, and the more they can get criticized. And that comes right out of our reading from Isaiah. Isaiah says, "God has given me the tongue of a teacher. I can speak words of encouragement to people and give them strength. And because I do all this, my back gets beaten. My beard gets pulled out. People turn on me and they accuse me of doing evil things." But Isaiah says, despite all this, I won't stop. Because I know that the Lord is with me and that my enemies will not triumph over me.
Por ejemplo, Isaías dijo que los maestros y los profesores excelentes, los que tienen las palabras para enseñar, también son los que sufren por enseñar tan bueno y recibir abuso por enseñar la verdad.
I want to tell you a story that I learned this past weekend, a true story that a Christian woman told me that is a perfect example of this. This past weekend, we went on a spiritual retreat, Labor Day weekend, to Oak Glen at Camp Luther Glen, beautiful camp about an hour from here, and it was a bilingual retreat. And we wanted to check it out, and next year, maybe we could go as a group from our church. So the story goes like this. There was a woman, and her name was Elvira. And she was now a grandmother, and when she was younger, as a mother, she had exactly 10 children, Elvira, 10 niños. One of her children got very sick, and as we know, there's maybe nothing more painful for a parent than to see their child be sick. Well, Elvira pressed on, and she went to go visit her sick child in the hospital. And he was not a little boy. He was like a young man. And when she went to go visit her son in the hospital, she read to him Psalm 116, the very psalm that we read this morning. We were having a Bible study when she told us this story. And as she was sitting by the side of her son reading Psalm 116, she heard groaning in the bed next door. And she was like, "What is that?" And the person groaned some more, and then finally they spoke. And he said to her, he said, "Would you please read that Bible a little louder? Because nobody comes to visit me. I have no family. I'm homeless. And I am suffering from a severe drug addiction." And she saw him, and it was true. He looked like he was on death's doorstep. So for the remaining days when she visited her son, she would read a little bit louder for the man next door, and she would sing little songs to her son, coritos. Ella cantaba coritos a su niño. Y el hombre en la otra cama escuchó porque él no tenía ninguna familia. Well, as the days went on, she said her son did not get better. He died. He died in the hospital. He didn't make it. He had a terrible disease, and as we know, that happens. It happens to good people. And the man in the bed next door made a complete recovery. He was miraculously healed. He was healed of his drug addiction. And she said, the last I heard from him, he had pulled his life together. He had a job, and he was a functioning adult. And when I think about that story, I think on the one hand, neither one of them got what they deserved. But you see the powerful effect of the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to save each and every one of us. For her son, he had eternal life. He had faith. And for the other man, he had another chance. The words that she spoke of love to her son that overflowed to the stranger had the effect to pull his life around, and he was healed. And that's the theme that comes throughout all of our readings today, that the Word of God has the power to save us. La palabra de Dios tiene el poder de salvarnos y sanarnos. Our reading from James this morning is so great. James talks about the power of the word. He says nothing is more powerful than the human tongue. He says it's like a fire. It's small, but just like a small spark can start a fire to burn a whole forest, so can a tongue. And the words that we speak have the power to cause great things. James talks about ships that sail, and although they can be mighty ships on the water, it's just the small rudder that can force them to move through the waves and the wind. And even today, the huge ocean liners still moved by a rudder. La lectura de Santiago dice que es la palabra que de Dios que es la cosa más poderosa en todo el mundo. Sometimes we're tempted into thinking, and we say this all the time, actions speak louder than words. And while that addresses, you know, hypocrisy, James kind of has us look at it a little bit differently. He says that if you could get your tongue and your speech right and you could speak perfectly, your actions would follow. James says absolutely, positively, words are more powerful than actions. And it's the words that control the actions. Out of our same mouth can flow blessing and curses. So when our words are not capable of being perfect, we give thanks that we have other words that are. the Word of God. God gives us words when we don't have them. The Bible, prayer, the sacraments of Holy Communion and baptism. What makes them holy, as you know, is no magic, it's no hocus pocus, it's no formula, it's the Word of God that makes the sacraments holy. Es la palabra de Dios que hacen los sacramentos santos. Cuando nosotros no tenemos las palabras, es la palabra de Dios que nos da consuelo. God's word gives us that power. So it was my wife's birthday last week. Era el cumpleaños de mi esposa Sherry. And I picked up our daughter, Sophie Grace, from preschool. And the last thing I had to do was to go get Sherry's cake. And I asked Sophie, Sophie, you want to come with Daddy to go get Mommy's cake? And she said, yes. And so as we drove from here down to the bakery, she told me all about her day and all the things that she learned. She was just a chatterbox. You know, it was a lot of fun. And we went and we picked out the cake, and then we got back in the car, and then she said, Daddy, I want to show you something that I learned in preschool today. And I'm driving, and she's in the back seat, and I say, okay, Sophie, go ahead. And she said, I learned how to talk without making any sound. And I went, ooh, that sounds cool. Why don't you show me? And so she went like, I could see in the rearview mirror, but she couldn't see me. And she went like this, just for about 2 seconds. And then she said, Daddy, I told you, I can speak without making any sound. And I went, okay, all right. And so she did it again for about 3 seconds. And then she, even louder, she said, Daddy, I told you, I can speak without making any sound. And again, it went on. And each time, you know, she was kind of yelling at me louder and louder until finally I said, Sophie, I know. I'm looking at you through the mirror. I see you doing it. What an amazing job. Wow, that's really cool. And she went, thank you, Daddy. And even at that young age, she understood the power of the Word. The power of the Word can do anything. It can change us from the inside out. La niña sabía que es la palabra de Dios que nos cambia. And there's many ways to express God's Word. Some people express it through sign language. Some people express it through different languages, through song, through sacrament, through fellowship, through a handshake or a hug. Many ways to express the Word of God. And that Word of God is powerful. Muchas maneras para expresar la palabra de Dios. The power to move giant ships, the power to change hearts, the power to heal, the power to give us strength when we face abuse or ridicule for doing what is right. God's word will give us strength and sustain us and give us eternal life. La palabra de Dios nos da fortaleza y la vida eterna. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day, The Summons. Will you come and follow me? You can stand as you're able, please.